Along with North Atlantic Oscillation and Bruce Sword from the Pineapple Thief, this next act will also be taking the stage at the K-Scope Presents Evening at the Tabernacle in London's Notting Hill on Wednesday, May the 2nd. This is Mothlight. This is from Dark Age, out on the 14th of May, Something in the Sky. They're called Mothlight. That's Something in the Sky. That's the single from the brand new album, Dark Age. Mothlight is the brainchild of Daniel O'Sullivan, who's also well known for his work with Ethanor, Miracle, Grumbling Fur, Sun-O, and of course Ulva. So as this work is more personal, I started by asking Daniel, down at Mothlight's rehearsal space in the East End of London, about his lyrics.
And the lyrical theme is just, you know, is the contradicting yourself, I think. Being so sure of an idea and sort of, you know, willfully kind of celebrating it in a song, and then the next time you write something, it's the complete opposite of that. This is a very human thing to accept your paradoxes and, like, you know...
Because you do so many other things, I'm wondering how much of that therefore dilutes what you do when you do on your own, because obviously, you know, I wonder what other people from your other projects thought of it. Do they think that you're diluting your art maybe by getting some of the best ideas into your own stuff? What would you say to the other chaps?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really see things in that kind of dualistic way, whether it's better or worse or anything. It's all a process of something or other, and it's just this Mothlight is you know, you couldn't compare it to any of the other projects that I do. And I think equally, I think all the other projects are incomparable also, you know, from each other. And with Mothlight, it's, I don't know, I think people generally are kind of happy that I'm doing it, you know, because I'm happier when I'm doing it. So.
Is it a more of a study in songwriting?
No, I wouldn't say that. Although Dark Age does have some pop arrangements, and it's not really confined to that either. I think, you know, like, we haven't even played any songs today. We've just been improvising, and it's clearly because we don't want to. So, but
well, there's a certain discipline, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I also do want to play these songs, you know, relatively faithfully, but not for any other reason other than I'm just attached to certain things that I like on the recording. They can mutate as much as they need to, you know.
After Flax of Reverie, I was expecting something spectacular. I got that. I don't think I was quite expecting so many wonderful refrains. You were talking about, you know, in the press release, you talk about hooks and choruses. Mm. So therefore, I wonder if you could take your mind back to the creative process. I was wondering how much of it was a case of, okay, that is a little bit burlesque, that song. I need to add some colour to it. Or that is getting too clever. I need to add something proletarian to it. How? Because the balance is quite good, I think. Was that a deliberate thing?
To
do both?
I guess I must have done to some extent, because you can't help but, you know, when you're making something, you know, that sort of critique, you know, it does sort of cut in. Sometimes it's not really welcome because it's some sort of cultural taboo that you don't really want to confront, you know. So I found, actually, with Mothlight, it was more about that. It was more about, as soon as there was a feeling where, oh, I shouldn't be doing this because it's too referential to this, which is a no-go area, I thought, well, why is that a no-go area? And immediately sort of, like, wanted to pursue it because it was previously a no-go area. So it's kind of like therapy, in a way, as well, allowing yourself to pursue things that previously seemed, you know, incorrect or wrong for you in some way. You're drawn to it because you know it's there, so why are you upset about it, kind of thing. So yeah, it's kind of more about following intuition rather than carefully constructing it into something. It's not like I wasn't really clear on the emotion of the song until like months after it was finished, really.
Because I wondered where you would stand on the old-fashioned notion of a hit record. What is that a conceit that you find interesting, or a conceit that you would find too old-fashioned?
Well, hits for me are not... I don't see hits in the commercial sense. I know that hits that are hits to me often are, you know, hits in, commercially also. But, yeah, I suppose what I mean by a hit is if it's just... if it hits you, you know, if you actually... if it stirs something in you on quite a profound level. And you know, there's just certain phrasing and certain kind of melodic little devices that I always just I'm a sucker for, you know.
How are you going to recreate this live?
But yeah, it's lots of drums and and effects, yeah, and live processing. It's quite dub in a way at times, you know. I find myself
live, sorry, what do you mean by live processing?
So like I'll record, you know, either my own voice or like some of the drums, or I'll just point a mic at something and I'll just take it and like loop it, you know, sample it basically.
Yeah.
And like, you know, cut it up and and, you know, send it back out in a different form. Yeah.
So it's part art, part science?
If you want to use those words.
I think pop music is. I mean, you know, it's partly, you know, art, it's partly showbiz, it's partly science, it's partly emotion. Where does your music stand in that pantheon?
Those paradigms. How much of it is art and how much of it is showbiz?
Yeah, that we were talking about that today. I was at one point I was painfully aware of the showbiz aspect and wanted to reduce it as much as possible. But I'm also respectful of it as well. You know what I mean? It's like it's not something if you're going to have a patron of any kind. When you're working in the arts, there needs to be respect, basically. Not necessarily compromise, but there needs to be respect.
That's Mothlight. That's called Zebras. The album, Dark Age, is out on May the 14th. That song is now available as a free download from kscopemusic.com/mothlight. That's spelt M-O-T-H-L-I-T-E, by the way, in case you didn't know. And you'll hear more of Daniel from Mothlight's work in the next K-Scope, the post-progressive podcast, as we catch up with Ulva. The Norwegian dark music legends have an album forthcoming of reworkings of classic psychedelic tracks, so you'll hear pieces from that too. Before that, we'll see you this Wednesday, May the 2nd, at the Tabernacle, Notting Hill, for the latest K-Scope evening. Live performances, remember, from Mothlight, North Atlantic Oscillation, and Bruce Sword from the Pineapple Thief in this gorgeous venue in West London. Tickets from tabernaclew11.com. Now, if you're subscribed to this podcast via iTunes, you'll need to resubscribe from July the 1st as we're coming off the Podbean platform and sticking with kscopemusic.com/podcast and our SoundCloud platform. So you'll be able to resubscribe and listen there via the website if you're not doing so already. I will see you soon. My name's Billy Reeves. Signing off. See you at the Tabernacle.